Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour or so on this December the 8th on the West Coast, and now December the 9th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, it's been a very, very interesting day for me. I've been researching and finding out exactly what I'm looking for, and I've been working on the new piece. It's a follow-up to my former Eisenhower piece that thousands and thousands of people are reading and commenting on, that they're happy they're seeing the truth come out. And it's no surprise anymore what we're learning. It's starting to make sense. And I got to listen to a few radio shows today, heard some wonderful interviews. My good friend Ken Adachi appeared on the air on republicbroadcasting.org on Dr. Truat's show, The Story Behind the Story. And they talked quite a bit about this character known as Sorcha Fall, that puts out these wonderful articles to her Western subscribers. That's a quote. And it's all disinformation intended to hoodwink people and steer you down the wrong path. And I know these emails are still going around. Try to use your discernment. Why do I bring that up? Well, it seems rather synchronistic that tonight's guest is a journalist, a publisher, an editor, my publisher and my editor of my Idaho Observer articles, the co-founder and co-publisher, along with her late husband, my good friend Don Harkins, Ingrid Castle. Welcome to Evident Footprints, Ingrid.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me, Don.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You know that. How are you doing these days?
Well, it's a little bit up and down. It's not real easy losing your life partner. I think anyone that's been in that position would, you know, concur that that's probably one of the more difficult, you know, passages of life to deal with. You know, but moving forward. I'm working on my own spiritual growth through staying, you know, connected to Him.
Yes.
And that's really important, that I, you know, connect with Him at night before I go to bed and in the morning, and He shares stuff with me, trying to keep me centered, because I have like double the workload on my plate and I need to job stuff out. I mean, I can't, you know, right now it's been fairly stressful trying to keep everything going. And, you know, you have to understand, both Don and I were in major overload for 2 years, and had not job stuff out that we should have. And so this place, if you were to come here, it's really a clutter mess. And so Don is encouraging me to ruthlessly purge. And I'm working on it.
It must be having some impact on me. I've been doing a lot of purging lately, but of a different sort.
Well, it's hard with a newspaper office, just because you need to have backup documentation for stories you've printed, and at this point it just doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you know, when you have a whole box of prisoner letters from 2003 sealed up and dried into your limited amount of space, and another box that says 2004 that he boxed up, it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we did our paper together for 10 years. Actually, Don started the paper in January 1997. That was the first edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a subscriber soon after that. And then we tied the knot in August 1999. and then shortly after moved to our current location in Spirit Lake, and we operate out of a basement, unfinished basement, and it's pretty packed.
Funny, I always had this impression that you were up higher up, several stories up, looking out over all the scenery that you have around there.
But I guess we do look out. We have a nice big picture window out of the basement that we can look out into a beautiful glen of trees. That's on the upper story, but out of our office, we just look straight out to. I mean, it's a basement. It's built into the side of a hill.
Yeah, yeah.
So the back part of the basement is, there's no windows, you know, per se, except for a little teeny high up bathroom window.
Well, that sounds neat.
Like that, yeah.
Well, the last time I had you on the show, and I had Don on as well, I've always tried to get the both of you on together. Of course, we can't do that now. In the sense of people hearing his physical voice, but certainly his spirit is with us. And there are a lot of talk show hosts who are my personal friend that bring up his work a lot. In fact, his Eight Veils piece has been brought up at least 10 times within the past 2 weeks amongst some people like Dr. Rashid Buttar. Ken Adachi has mentioned it. Dr. Truat, and some others.
That's because we reprinted it. We reprinted it in this last paper.
Yes, yes.
And it was a request among several people, Don, that we reprint one of Don's classic articles in each issue. So we're working on doing that. And so we have, for the October and November issues, printed a piece that he wrote himself, and I have not selected the one for December, actually.
Well, I'm sure he'll have an influence on helping you pick one out. Right?
Yep. I'm sure that'll happen.
Well, you need to know that many of my listeners write and tell me that they're praying for you and praying for the paper. So they love the paper, and they don't want to see the paper go away. And they realize the importance that you and Don have been in my writing career, the impact and getting this message out in a hard copy form. And, you know, I'm most grateful for that as well. And as time goes on, the stories are going to get more and more exciting just because we're finding out more of the truth. Whether we're writing about politics and government or financial corruption on Wall Street, or if we're talking about health issues, which are extremely important these days because we're all under this subversive attack. And I know that's a topic very close to your heart, very near and dear to you and a lot of the people that you work with. Going on In the world of vaccines these days, as far as...
Well, you know, I have to admit that this is one of the things I'm wanting to pull back from the paper and put more energy into VacLib, and I haven't been doing that so much, you know, just because I have to focus on getting the paper square and pass the torch on to some other people to take Don's place. So, but vaccination liberation is my first passion, and Don wants to encourage me to get back into that and pass off a lot of the paper stuff. So I'm just telling you that, you know, I'm working on that. It's in the works. We just hired a great guy who's doing layout, and I believe you talked to him on the phone, Aaron. And anyway, so we're just right now laying out, like, the classified pages and letters to the editor right now, you know, as a trial run with, you know, getting our new learning curve on working with the program, the layout program, and it's coming along really well. We have a great crew, and I'm real pleased that I'm going to be able to relax a little bit and get back into, you know, my first passion, which brought Don and I together. I was a director of Vaccination Liberation, and still am, and then I married the Idaho Observer, and I you know, certainly can't handle both. But, yeah, what's going on in the world of vaccines? Well, the swine flu thing seems to be petering out, even though they're still pushing the vaccine. It's not, people are getting sick and dying from a lot of things. I mean, I think more people are realizing that these hospitals are death centers and their doctors are dangerous. You know, that's the kind of news I'm hearing just locally and from friends and family, is that there's just a lot of people getting sick and dying at the hands of the allopathic medical profession. It's not just from the flu. A lot of older people, younger people too, they can't handle the onslaught of the vaccination schedule. So we're seeing an increase in a sick population, and you know, the few people surviving it are the ones that are staying away from allopathic medicine and that whole paradigm. And it's harder to get away from, you know, eat natural foods and healthy foods. I mean, unless you're, you know, grow your own food, put away your own food, are really discerning about what you buy, it's, you know, how do you stay away from a genetically modified food? It's contaminating all the crops these days. So it's, you know, you have to keep a positive outlook while being gentle on your body and, you know, and eating well. And I'm reviewing a book this month that I think is just really fantastic, just to hand to anyone that you feel really needs a kind of a shot in the arm as to how serious our food supply has become and what it takes to create more abundant health. And it's written by our Georgia chapter leader, Ginger Woods O'Shea, and she's a retired social worker and a strong Christian. She wrote Lifestyle Choices, Up to You, Biblical and Natural Health Guidelines for More Abundant Living. And this happens to be one of the most beautifully written books I have seen in a long time. You have to understand, Don, we get a lot of, you know, homegrown type published books that aren't well edited, that you're just like, oh, this information's so important. Why didn't they get it professionally edited? And it's frustrating. I don't know who edited her book or if she just is naturally a good writer, but it's one of the most beautifully written and crafted books I've read in a long time. And I was, you know, and to have this level of information where she's uncovering, you know, MSG, aspartame, excitotoxin. She has a whole section on vaccines. But she starts out with beautiful biblical quotes on how to be, how to change your life and treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit that it is. You know, we need to honor our bodies as the spiritual vehicle for our mission here and to, you know, take that mission seriously. And not, you know, you go to these church potlucks. This is where I, her inspiration, I think, was. She would go to, you know, church functions, and people would bring so much junk food, and they'd be eating coffee, and they'd be overweight, and they, you know, be comparing health problems, and, you know, their diabetes, and they'd vaccinate their children. And these were Christians. And she thought, wow, you know, where... she couldn't understand how they could read the Bible and be prayerful and make these kind of choices, but most of us go along with what 99% of the people do out there. And if their minister is doing this, or someone that they respect, an expert in their life on a spiritual level, then they feel it's okay, instead of finding out those answers for yourself, you know, through prayer and asking for guidance and paying attention. So she takes you on a whole journey of how you can, you know, be really clear about making healthy choices in your life, changing your lifestyle habits, and really submitting your whole self to God for renewing your mind and meditating on His Word, you know, confessing what you've done that's wrong and turning the whole thing around and putting on the new man, she says. Actively choose and embrace God's way for your health. And I just, you know, anyway, I'm just I've been very enamored with her book, and usually that'll happen to me periodically. I'll find a book that, oh my gosh, this is so beautifully put together. It makes so much sense. It's a book I wish I would have written, or I wish I would have known this information. And last year at this time, you know what book I was reading that turned my whole life around on some level? Just because I didn't see, you know, the issue of feminism in that way, but it was Henry Mackow's book, Cruel Hoax, Feminism in the New World Order. I talked about that for at least 6 weeks. Dawn was embarrassed taking me to any Christmas function because I couldn't stop talking about it, and he was like embarrassed I might be talking to people that weren't interested in the topic. I might offend a gay gentleman or something talking about it. But yeah, so that's it in a nutshell. I'm still obsessed with the written word. That's kind of what we do here, is we gather information from both the internet and hard copy sources and compile a monthly newspaper. And you can order it by going to idaho-observer.com, or you can see articles that we printed. They're for free on the website. 13 years of publishing the newspaper, and you can do a search on our website and get all kinds of information on different topics. In fact, I think our website's been around so long, we've never done anything to boost our ratings on the search engines, but you can do a search on several different topics, and we're often in the top 10.
Yeah.
It depends. It depends on the topic, and, you know, but there are certain things, you know, that will boost us up in the search engines.
Mm-hmm. You touched on a few things, actually, that are very interesting. And you know, when you mentioned VacLib, what sprung to my mind was a former guest that I've had on the show. I've actually had him on the show a couple of times, Burke Elder Hale. Elder simply says vaccines are obsolete. And really, I concur with that finding, and even go further and say they were never necessary, other than for the purpose that the pharmaceutical companies and the chemists and all these mad scientists that have created them are using them for.
Right. When he says obsolete, it implies that there was a use for them, and the only use for them is to create a sick population. It's an interesting use of the term, because I would say that they were born in fraud from the very beginning to create a dependent and sick population.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I agree. And, of course, he agrees with that. But certainly, if they're obsolete, why are they still using them, is what he's saying. And
But they were never functional in the first place. That's what I'm saying. Obsolete implies.
Yeah, we agree.
So, I mean, I'm just saying it's an interesting term because they never did wipe out smallpox or polio. That's a huge fraud that needs to be hammered in over and over and over again, because when people understand that you can't inject poisons into your system and somehow create immunity, let alone health, that's an impossibility, then they'll realize we've been lied to about a lot of things.
Yes. Now, there is a history to vaccines, and I don't, it's not my intention to get political here, but I'm seeing links between the research I'm currently doing on historical events and personages from history, or for those out there who are a little bit dictionary deprived people from history. And I have to be a smart aleck once in a while. the history that we're seeing right now has been sort of played on a trial basis in some cases, and in other cases they've marched forward with these programs. And of course, vaccines are at the forefront, as they were during the times that the world was at war or had just come out of a world war, and these things move in cycles. You can actually count the years that these events seem to reoccur. And so this isn't by accident that this is happening. They're counting the generations, and they're trying something new. Although right now, because of all the ethereal changes that are going on throughout the universe, they're getting rather paranoid that they're losing grip, that their reign of terror is coming to an end. And certainly these vaccines, though they're sold to us psychologically, using the fear factor and the danger that if you don't have this, you could get really sick. Not telling you that these vaccines can kill you. And there are people dying from them.
Right.
Certainly, they're not being honest as to why the people are dying. I saw, I mentioned this on my show last night, and the night before, I think, I saw a Clorox commercial where they're telling people to get the swine flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's but they're not saying swine flu, they're saying H1N1.
Yeah, that makes it more mysterious and more scientific.
Yeah, yeah.
Always say, I don't know, I just have to mention that the flu shot of all shots is very easy to debunk. I mean, they are always saying all these people die every year, and they increase the number of flu shots that are purchased and disseminated every single year to where I think in 2008 it was like 130 million? How many people are in this country? Anyway,
well,
it was a huge amount.
Right now there's 325.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to get my figures wrong here. But anyhow, they purchased a record number in 2008. It was always increased from the year before, and the hype goes on to get your flu shot, and they increase the publicity over and over again, but they never change the numbers of people that die every single year from the seasonal flu. They say it's 36,000 people every single year die in this country, and the World Health Organization has the figure at 250,000 to 500,000. You know, that's quite a huge spread that die every single year, and they've said that for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with this,
and more die from car accidents, but they haven't come up with a vaccine to prevent those.
That's right. So, yeah, well, cancer too, and heart disease, and you know, lots of things. But you know, here we have this alleged swine flu, and once there were 100,000 alleged cases that weren't even lab confirmed, and that was worldwide. They considered it a pandemic. Now, that's quite a scam. I do have an article that Bill Engdahl sent to me. I should try to find it. But anyhow, it shows the whole manipulation of the World Health Organization and how this Dutch guy, he's quite involved with GlaxoSmithKline, and just the whole manipulation of the whole swine flu from the pharmaceutical industry influenced World Health Organization. And, you know, a lot of us are led to believe the World Health Organization is funded by the United Nations, the individual governments, but actually they're totally manipulated by the pharmaceutical industry. And that's where this whole swine flu bonanza came from.
Yeah. I kept my nose out of the swine flu debates and this whole hysteria. Just watching, you know, outside the box, just observing what was going on. And it was in my research on Dr. Orly Tates that I came up with this revelation that her husband was working hand-in-hand with Novartis, the swine flu patent holder. And then all the other investigations I was doing were leading me back to Novartis again.
Wow.
When I began looking at Henry Nyman, Dr. Henry Nyman, and I didn't do a written piece, but I've certainly been sharing my research with the listeners on this show and on some other shows, and with Dr. Truott, in fact, and he was quite surprised, but in one sense, and in another sense, not surprised at all, that he's also in bed with the pharmaceutical companies because he licenses his technology to these companies for millions and millions of dollars. He stands to make money, so he's out there promoting, get your
right.
flu shot. You know, and this is disingenuous. It's actually fraudulent.
Right.
In that sense. And they're not telling us the truth about what these vaccines do and what they put in it. And, you know, there's no reason to tell us. You know, we're too dumb to know. We don't deserve to know. Just do as you're told and get the damn shot, they tell you on the news, using that language. You know, that's
right.
a quote. It's obscene what's going on. So as I then became interested in how this ties into other things, and I keep seeing a connection to Austria. If you know, I wrote about Wantagate. There's a connection to
right.
Austria there. And, of course, Bush has a connection to Austria, and he has a connection to the swine flu and all of these pharmaceutical companies mm-hmm. and the intelligence agencies behind all this. And currently, what you know, and then we have Jane Burgermeister. There's Austria again. And I'll tell you, when you see my new research, it's all going to fit like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly a place that's been kept a secret for a lot of reasons. And it's becoming very clear to me, it's going to be very clear to our readers and the listeners to this show as to what's really going on, even more so. And I think it's going to be something that even you will be able to sink your teeth into on some level.
Even me, huh?
Even you, yes. Even you.
Yeah, this is a guy I hadn't even heard of that Engdahl's talking about, this Professor Albert Osterhaus of the Erasmus University in Rotterdam, Holland.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's been named by Dutch media researchers as a person at the center of the worldwide swine flu, H1N1, you know, 2009 pandemic hysteria. And they've nicknamed him Dr. Flu. And that's because he is not only the connecting person in an international network that has been described as the pharma mafia, he is the key advisor to WHO, World Health Organization, on influenza. It is intimately positioned to personally profit from the billions of euros in vaccines aimed at combating the H1N1 virus.
So he's the godfather,
you're saying. He is the guy. And then he says, Science Magazine actually carried the following brief note in its October 16th edition about Osterhaus. It said, for the past 6 months, one could barely switch on the television in the Netherlands without seeing the face of famed virus hunter Albert Osterhaus. I don't know how to say it. It's just, you know.
It's probably Osterhaus.
Osterhaus? Osterhaus?
Yeah.
Talking about the
Easterhaus. Yeah.
Talking about the swine flu pandemic, or so it seemed. Mm-hmm. Osterhaus, who runs an internationally renowned virus lab at Erasmus Medical Center, has been Mr. Flu. But last week, his reputation took a massive nosedive after it was alleged that he has been stoking pandemic fears to promote his own business interests in vaccine development. And he has, as science went to press, the Dutch House of Representatives had even slated an emergency debate about the matter. So that is the huge thing. There's all these conflicts of interest, and people position themselves into political positions, even though they have stocks in these pharmaceutical companies and huge overriding interests. Like in our country, it's Dr. Paul Offit, who is the main vaccine criminal that people at the movement cite. They call him Dr. Profit.
Mm-hmm.
But his last name is Offitt.
So when you want to arrest him, do you say, go get off it? Or
well, something like that. But believe me, he's been at the center of many hate campaigns by parents of autistic children and stuff. And, yeah, there was a whole backlash to that, too. You know, I mean, he's making it like, oh, my gosh, these parents are insane. They need to be locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But
now,
I mean, if you were...
are you familiar, Ingrid? This thought just popped up, and I wanted to throw a quick question at you. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Rashid A. Buttar?
I am. He has done a lot of fabulous work reversing autism, and he has a clinic in North Carolina.
Yes. That's why I brought it up.
And I haven't personally talked to him. I've been on email exchanges with him. My attention, frankly, got diverted as our paper business grew. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, when Don and I first got together, I came in doing the business stuff because the paper was ready to fold.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people actually know.
I'm aware of that story.
it was actually the truth. But he just he was giving away papers even though it wasn't an ad sheet, and he was working two different jobs to kind of keep it going, and it was just, it wasn't good. And so when we first got together, we took turns going to our old jobs to keep everything going. And mm-hmm. But after a while, it was able to be self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. So at this point, it actually is self-sustaining. With all that said, it's not an easy business. It takes a lot of time. It pretty much takes up all your time when you get to be as large as we are, and we're not really that large, but we're large enough to have employees, and we didn't want to have them. Lot of my vac lib work and networking with people like Batar took a back seat because, vac lib is more of a tithing work. Mm-hmm. Haven't really figured out, how to do that full time. I have a friend that does her network full time, and she does several fundraisers every year. And I have a thing about begging people for money for something that I feel should be grassroots activism and tithing. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, it'll all figure itself out.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought up Dr. Batar, which you pointed out, is his success in reversing autism. And he attributes it to all the toxicity, especially of these vaccines.
Yeah, he does hyperbaric oxygen, I believe, too. The hyperbaric oxygen changers.
That's way down the road, according to what he talks about.
Well, he's doing the metals, getting the metals out of the system.
Yes, yeah. He's getting the metals out and replacing them with restorative nutrition, we could say.
Right.
So that the body begins functioning again. And then down the road, you can try these other modalities, but it sort of exacerbates a problem if you haven't taken all the proper precursory steps.
He got on the map nationally with Desiree Jennings, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. He was on the show about 3 weeks ago, I think it was.
Was he?
Yes. And he mentioned Don right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And his 8 Fails article. He said, I was so touched by that article.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reading Dr. Kasim Khalil's Wrongly Blamed, and mm-hmm. and he knew that Dr. Khalil and I have collaborated on a number of issues and topics, current events, in fact. He was very happy to come on. We're going to have him on again. Maybe we can have the two of you on together. That's the way to network with him.
That's a possibility. He's really a humble man too, and I get a little concerned. I think all of us were very concerned when, there was this whole hoopla over Desiree Jennings, and there was a denial that she even was sick at all when he was able to recover her. So a lot of people were worried that he was going to be coming under attack, because there are several people that are in prison that we deal with that have been doing good work as naturopaths and MDs curing cancer, and they seem to want to scoop those people up right away. And we have James Folsom in prison for his Rife machine, and of course, what happened to the guy in Florida with liquid depenyl citrate, James Kimball. I don't know if you ever heard that story. That was
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with the story. You want to share it with us?
Well, just briefly, we were all excited. He actually escaped. He was a prisoner who actually escaped. But they were killing him. I mean, we have a whole progression of him aging in prison. He was this vital, young, healthy man, and he was cutting in on pharmaceutical drugs, business with Parkinson's disease. I mean, anyone that took his liquid dapranol citrate that he had a patented means of producing and it was cutting into pharmaceutical profits, so he was taken to court and trumped up charges and anyway thrown into prison. He was on diesel therapy. I don't know if you know what diesel therapy is. They did that to Holder Clark. Diesel therapy is when they, you know, a political prisoner, someone that the powers that be don't like, they will take him in a van on a very rough ride, have him shackled in the back with no cushion or anything, and take him on a very, very rough, fast ride, winding turns. And when they arrive, they're bleeding and banged up, like bruised head to toe and bleeding, and it's horrifying. And they did that to Holder Clark, believe it or not.
Yeah, Ed Brown talked about that shortly after his arrest. Same thing.
Right. That's what they call diesel therapy, if you hear it. Anyway, so he suffered a lot, and we have this progression of pictures, four pictures of when he was vitally young and how he turned into this, you know, hardened old man. And then he was on, I guess, some chain gang thing or whatever, but he escaped. I think it was in South Carolina or something, and we all thought that he was out of the country. And because he had some people, you know, waiting and helping him, like, escape. So we were like, oh, good, he's in Mexico. And nobody knew where he was, and his wife was elated, and his son was elated. But, of course, they immediately after he had escaped successfully, they raided their house and tore up their house upside and down, the wife and his son in Florida. And this past year, he was rearrested, and it come to find out that he had taken on a new identity, and he was living in a trailer that he was allegedly renting from his wife. And they finally caught up with him, put him back in prison.
And did he have to go through the diesel therapy again?
Well, I tried to get a hold of Jo Kimball, and I haven't been able to. She's been really sick. This whole thing has stressed her out, and I think she's not well. I mean, when you're under that much emotional stress, mm-hmm. you've been in love with your husband that many years, and, I mean, you know, to watch. I mean, it was horrible that I lost my husband, but it would be really hard for me to maintain health and well-being having my loved one tortured and being powerless to do anything about it for 10 years. It wasn't maybe 10 years, maybe not that long, but it's still horrible. And some people handle it better than others.
And then
She could not handle it. She was running the business, keeping everything afloat, trying to visit her husband. They placed him in a prison in the furthest corner of Florida that they could, and then they moved him to another state and tried to keep them apart. And she was, you know, always trying to visit him every weekend. And it's very demeaning. It's very difficult. This is a brilliant couple that had a successful business selling all kinds of nutrients, vitamin C and colloidal silver and their big product was, this is a very interesting part of the story. They were desperate to get former customers to testify against them, anyone that, you know, had taken the product. And they called them all up. They couldn't find anyone that could be bribed for even $10,000 to testify against them.
Hmm.
They were trying to bribe someone to testify against him over the liquid dapranol citrate. And they all loved Jay and his wife, Jo, and were so thankful for the product that helped him recover from Parkinson's. And they couldn't find anyone to bribe to testify against him.
Now, there's a similar story with this Dr. Brzezinski. I don't recall his first name. Last name, Brzezinski. in Houston, Texas.
Right, cancer doctor.
With cancer, yes. And there was an L.A. Times writer that sort of made a career for himself on the stories that he was writing about that case. And they literally bribed his right-hand man and to give up his formulas. And they tried, I think it's three times, they set him up. And in the last trial, the third trial, one of the men that was brought up as a state's witness was asked the question by this prosecutor, what compelled you to drive all the way from California to Texas to purchase these medications? And he said, well, they were for my mother. Why were you getting these medications from Dr. Brzezinski? And his response was, because they worked. It was simple. And he was found not guilty. And I guess they struck some kind of a deal where he was given, I think it was 48 test subjects to work on. And they were monitoring this. You know, they were trying to control the whole event. But he had experienced remission in a huge portion of these test subjects within a very short period of time. And then over time, it was a very high percentile of the total patients that he was given, all in different stages of different types of cancer. But this is what they will put these fantastic medical practitioners through. It's just because they have something that works.
Right.
So definitively, you know, we're not we're not talking about radiation where they make billions of dollars every year. And everybody down the line, all the companies that manufacture this equipment and all the drugs that they use, that's all they can think of is putting things in the body.
Sickness is a huge industry, and that's the thing I always highlight to people. Do you pay your doctor when you're healthy or when you're sick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a huge, the pharmaceutical industry and this whole, I love what Truat had to say about the history of the Rockefellers in this country and the relationship to the pharmaceutical industry and the forming of the American Medical Association and just gaining a whole monopoly on the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
It does an excellent job on that. But anyway, that's something I just ask people just as a matter of logic. You know, there's no financial incentive to keep us healthy. You have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right now,
it's a choice. You've hit upon this a number of times. You know, whether you're listening to your minister or whatever, you have a choice. You have been given the power to make your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through our failure to exercise that God-given right that you lose it. It becomes atrophied like any other ability.
Right.
If you don't make your own choices, if you always allow others to make them for you, then you really deserve what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the premise that that propaganda works on.
Right.
You know, recognizing it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The lies that they tell us. I mean, why is it, if what they have is so wonderful, why do they have to lie about the true nature of it?
Well, I think the whole game is to keep us from our relationship with our Creator.
Yes.
And if we affirm that relationship, we will be guided into being independent of this or more independent
mm-hmm.
of the powers that be, that, you know, for them, everything is enslaving us with their money system.
Yeah.
When you think of how you spend your money, I mean, whatever, everyone out there, I'm sure, is using, these Federal Reserve notes or, you know, euros or something that ties into the international banking system as a means of exchange. I mean, think about where you get yours from and how you spend it. And it's all part of the matrix. This is part of the whole enslavement.
Yeah.
And the more you can pull yourself back from that and grow your own food and do things that are inexpensive to maintain health and wellness, the more they're going to, you know, try to figure out how they can put a stop to that, because they need us to be more and more enslaved, you know, more dependent on going to experts. You have to go to a lawyer to figure out the law. You have to go, you know, you have to trust your government in order to, and pay taxes to them so that you will have all the benefits that the government's allegedly providing. You know, it's a whole system that, you know, that they want to keep us from being able to do for ourselves and be dependent on these bureaucracies and systems.
Yeah, but they're not telling
you. You can't get a job without going to college, right, Don? You're not going to be able to make it in this world. You'll be flipping hamburgers if you don't go to college, don't you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, who owns the hamburger joint, you see? That's a lowly job, but then you've got to ask yourself the logical question. Well, who owns that place that's so wonderful to flip hamburgers at? And, of course, you know, they don't want to go into that, you see. They don't want to tell you that if you take the golden arches and turn them 90 degrees to the right, it's the number 13.
Right. Well, there's, of course, all these symbols. But there's what I was kind of getting at was the programming. We have lots of programming that we need to undo. And a lot of it's taught in the public schools, you know, from, you know, the foundational belief that smallpox and polio were eradicated by vaccines and they're life-saving to, you know, you have to go to college. You have to do certain things in order to maintain a certain level of prosperity in society.
Or that milk has to be pasteurized. I mean, where would breastfeeding be if you had to run mother's milk through a pasteurization process? You know, everything becomes, you know, you have to use this machine, or you have to have this drug, or, you know, you have to go through this process. It's all about making money. You're right. You know, I say it every night. Follow the money. And, you know, you brought up the Rockefellers. There's a connection to Austria there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you get into DNA and all of that, and cloning and the whole nine yards, it's going to be a revelation to some people to take a fresh look at some places that seem to only offer schnitzel or you know, skiing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more going on that we really need to pay attention to, so much more. And these, you know, as I study history, and I'm doing it in a very unusual way, it's not like I'm picking up a history book and just reading about a particular topic. I find an issue that has names attached to it, and I become interested in who's running that and how it's working and what impact it has on us, and why is it so different from what we're being told? You know, why is our experience not what it's professed to be? And so I go down the rabbit hole to look at the truth, or to find the truth. And it's usually in a cesspool that you find it, really. That's how corrupt everything has become. And it's a dark place to be. So I certainly look towards the moments in my day when I can escape from that and concentrate on more spiritual things. Things that are spiritually nourishing.
Right.
But I'm finding a satisfaction in getting to the truth in this respect, too, rather than to be, oh, woe is me. Look how corrupt this is. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I have a radio show. This is why I write and talk about these things. And people are starting to wake up, but they've got to really, it starts with the individual, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, You hit on it, what they put in their bodies and or
well,
what they allow.
Lifestyle choices. That's just why I really liked her book, because it comes from a spiritual angle, and it's the lifestyle choices that you need to make to pull yourself out of the matrix. And it's really, it involves self-sufficiency and living and eating more simply. I mean, how many people think about going into town and not necessarily eating at a restaurant unless they know the restaurateur and, you know, they're very conscious about what they're feeding their patrons? Mm-hmm. And we do have a couple restaurants like that among Patriots, and they're very conscious about the GMO issue and, you know, having, they would never have a Splenda or aspartame or Equal on the table. You know, there are, you know, and I know for myself, if I ever go to a restaurant and they have those kind of things on the table, that'll be the last time I go, because I share with them that information. And if I go back and they still have those kind of poisons on the table, I don't proselytize those businesses. That's why I always ask people, so you went to the dentist and that dentist uses mercury amalgams and fluoride in their practice and you still trust him with your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would never consider going to a dentist as a matter of just boundaries and ethics, you know.
Well, yes, and I've had those same experiences in restaurants. I'll ask them, I'll ask the waiter or waitress, could you please remove the rat poison from my table? I never eat in the presence of rat poison. Mm-hmm. And they say, what do you mean? Say, well, those yellow and pink and blue packets that you have over there, those all contain aspartame. That's rat poison. That's a nerve toxin. And they'll say, oh, that's not true. Lots of people use this stuff. And I said, yeah, lots of people take rat poison. Lots of people
and they're
are
sick and they're on drugs.
Yeah. And he'll bring the manager out upon my request, and I'll state that to the manager. Just thought you should know that you're serving rat poison to people. Mm-hmm. Look it up. Do some work. You know, do some research. And I know one particular place that actually took it off the tables. They don't carry it, and they tell people, no, we don't serve that. It's dangerous.
And that's good, you know, because you're educating people, and then they respond. But it's the people that, you know, don't respond and continually serve that stuff once they know. And they have a moral obligation as far as I'm concerned. I consider all of us having moral obligations to share the information that we're given that's not easily accessible, that's not in the mainstream media, that's not in the public schools, not in colleges, not, you know, on the TV screen, whatever, libraries. It, you know, you just don't find this information readily accessible. And if mm-hmm. you know something that most people don't know, you do have an obligation to share it the best way you can. And, you know, that's how, you know, we're going to increase the consciousness of this planet and get rid of the evil that's pervasive. But if you really do nothing and you still go to a dentist that, you know, uses fluoride therapeutically and puts mercury amalgams in people's mouths, well, you only have yourself to blame, you know, that we have these this mercury poisoning issue, you know, pervasive in this country. I mean, it's environmentally contaminating a lot, and I think people don't realize just how much, you know, mercury and fluoride is airborne now. It's going up in incinerators in different cities.
But, well, mean, they're using, you know, mercury vapor lamps on the streets.
This you know? Is true. All, it's all that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like one dental amalgam can poison a lake. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff out there.
Yeah, and lots of ways, not to mention what they put in the water, in the tap water.
Right.
Which most people are, well, I can't say most people, but many people have learned that it's not safe to drink tap water for a variety of reasons. But that someone came up with the idea in Germany to get rid of fluorides from, you know, the byproducts from aluminum manufacturing.
Right.
Is,
and
is
the fertilizer
obscene.
Industry. Yeah.
You know, these are just a few examples. What about the ones that haven't been identified yet? it's a sad story that humanity has allowed itself to be pulled down so low in consciousness. And It's not the whole of humanity, but that's their goal, is to subjugate
everyone.
Well,
the latest horror story for me is the genetically modified trees, where they want to, instead of growing hemp to harvest, you know, hemp is a renewable resource for paper, clothing. You know, it's good for the soil. I mean, it's not like taking trees are like the lungs of the planet, you know. I mean, anyway, and they hold the soil. It's so essential. Trees are, you know, just, I don't know. Once you start taking down the trees, you're creating deserts. The Sahara Desert used to be forested. I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but the Sahara Desert was man-made. But anyway... So the latest is that they're producing trees, genetically modified, that don't have any lignans, or the tensile strength of the tree is being removed, so that in processing the tree in a pulp, for paper in a pulp factory, it's the lignin, the tensile strength of the tree, that gums up their machines, and so if they don't have that, they can process paper easier and harvest the trees better. And it'd be easier. So anyhow, that's the latest. But of course, all of the trees are genetically modified to have BT, or the pesticide in it, so that they would be dependent on herbicides. And so the insects die. The trees don't bear any fruit, so there'd be no wildlife in our forest. It kind of goes on and on like that. It is probably the biggest nightmare I've seen. This it's called The Silent Forest, and it was definitely a horror story because they're doing fruit trees, apple trees like this too, and of course the genetically modified apples are not labeled in the store, and you give them to your children. We have no idea, you know, what is causing their health problems, because there's a myriad of factors out there now that are poisoning our whole human genome and animals and everything. But the GMO stuff, I think, is probably some of the most frightening to me. And when they start talking about, they spread, the pollen spreads to non-GMO trees and contaminates them. And they had to, in Hawaii, an organic papaya grower had to destroy over 200 of his trees because the seeds were 50% contaminated with the genetically modified papayas from the pollen that, you know, travels.
Well, that's a concern farmers have anywhere where they're still growing, you know, organic fruits and vegetables. Is the cross-pollination of these plants. Plus, who knows what they can do beyond their own species, you know, and I don't mean, within the corn family or within the tomato family. What if these things are made to crossbreed with each other? I mean, I heard at one point they were trying to crossbreed tomatoes and beef. I don't know if that was for pizza or Italian restaurants. Somebody thought that one up, but...
Putting fish. They push fish genes into the tomatoes. That's something. So they're, you know, not a vegetarian product anymore. And that was to help the reddening or ripening process or something. But anyway, I haven't heard of the beef ones, but I knew that there were fish genes in the tomatoes.
Yeah, I heard the beef thing 6 or 8 months ago. Yeah, and it was. I mean, you just throw your hands up in the air and say, what are these people thinking? Don't they have anything better to do with their day?
You know, they're trying to hold on to their idea of security, which is based on this debt-based money system.
Yeah.
You know, these Federal Reserve notes, for them, if they can get more of it, you know, than other people, then they can manipulate people and get all the little goodies that they want, and they don't think of anything else, apparently. But that's the frightening thing with this whole Obama healthcare plan, too, because the alternative healthcare practitioners, I don't think, have really been paying attention. But if that healthcare bill passes, basically it would eliminate all alternative practitioners.
Well, it's draconian. and it has no basis in health whatsoever. It's about making money.
It's about again, disease.
You know, and about disease, too. Yeah.
Managing disease.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going to be fined and you're going to be imprisoned. And, you know, they make a non-act a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insane. It's insanity and it's psychopathic. There's no other way. And of course, they don't have the health insurance. You know, they're not getting it. You know, why
well,
are
Congress,
they so...
Yeah. They're exempt, right?
Yeah, yeah. Why are they so privileged? Well, the very people, you know, the president of the United States is saying, well, you know, I don't have to do this. You know, there's a lot of things he said he hasn't had to do that I think he's going to eventually have to do, whether he knows it or not. Oh, and I get
going. Yeah, there are a lot of reporters pretty upset when he skirted that question regarding his family's health insurance.
Yeah.
Whether he was going to participate or not.
Well, it shouldn't even have to be asked, should it? But you
it
see the response
be, of course,
you get.
But, yeah.
You know, the duplicity and the lying and the corruption is overbearing. You know, certainly that is a disease in and of itself. You know, where's the vaccines for that?
Yeah, we need to immunize ourselves from politicians, huh?
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time, Ingrid, but...
I was thinking that, too.
You were thinking that.
It was the top of the hour, and I wasn't sure how long your show was.
Well, we have a little bit of a luxury if you want to close with something, which you always do very well. Telling people, you know, what's on your heart and things that they can do, solution-oriented stuff, you know, awareness-related. And consciousness-related.
Yeah, for me, I think it is a growth process of how to share this information. And I've watched over the years how some people are alienated by their families, and other people, they can bring new information to their families, and they're embraced. And a lot of it has to do about talking to people's listening and being the kind of family member that people appreciate and enjoy. Are you a helpful person? Do you truly care about your friends and family? I mean, what kind of person are you? Do you make people wrong? Are you judgmental? You know, people don't make a choice to vaccinate their children because they want to harm them. Or, you know, I mean, things like that. I mean, or drinking diet sodas. If you come across as preachy and making the other person wrong, that you're not going to make a good impact. But you need to come across with humility and be educative and just give information. And come from a place of discovery. Like, I used to think that way until I had a friend who suffered horribly from getting a vaccine or nearly died from the flu shot. And then I did some research. So there's all kinds of bridging statements you can make, but you don't continue to talk to someone about any of this kind of information if they're not listening to you and they don't want to hear the information. You change the subject. Talk about the weather, anything else, or move to someone else.
Yeah, talk about
you know, I mean, if you're in a social situation.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I see a lot of people that, in my line of work, that they want to make an impact. They come across like a 2x4 over someone's head.
Yeah.
And it turns people off really fast. And so I like to, you know, have people, before they're going to go out, it is important to share with people. But how do you share? A lot of times, I'm not really in the mood for talking to strangers, and I do what we call the drop. I will, you know, just leave cards at the post office or on a table somewhere, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I'm changing my tires or at the bank. So I have all kinds of literature. I have vaccine fact cards. I have global warming fact sheets. I have little business cards that say love them, protect them, never inject them. I have 9/11 truth cards, truth, Nick, get truth, get peace. And they're attractive. And you can drop them in places, and people do pick them up, and they do plant seeds. So I'm big into seed planting, and then in social situations, you know, just raising a question. So what do you think of Obama health care plan? You know, you want to draw people out, but you ask them about, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do for Christmas? I mean, talk about the other person. Get them to talk so you even know that they're going to be open to anything you have to say.
Yeah.
Or if they'd even be interested in things that you've learned.
Well, yeah, I do that. Now, I'm sure you notice this, too, that you'll strike up a conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you bring up a topic that is outside their comfort level, they go into denial.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Cocoa Puffs or Cheerios that you're talking about. And, you know, you can ask them a question. You know, how long have you been eating that particular cereal? Or this, using this particular product? And they might say, well, why? You say, well, I notice you're always complaining that you're feeling a pain in your knees or your body aches or, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are ways to get people to open up a little bit and talk about that. But they'll give you the reasons that you know are really not the cause of what they're going through. So
right.
There's a lot of programming that has to be undone.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
In fact, Patricia, she is writing, or she already has written, a page on the whole brainwashing and programming from a Russian man defector. It's, you know, the whole communist agenda for this country was started, obviously, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And it's everywhere. You
McCarthy
find it
was right. You know, McCarthy was right, as I always say.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he is even, you know, in the course of my research on the piece I'm working on right now, his name came up.
Uh-huh.
And the specific topic that he was addressing in Washington was at the core of the very problem I'm investigating.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a coincidence that these things happen and that these names crop back up. I think it's because we're getting to the truth and we're seeing the different dimensions of it. You know?
Right.
And that's a lot for people who are primarily thinking in a linear fashion, you know.
Right.
They see things, what's in front of them, and they know that if they point their nose in a certain direction, all they have to do is follow their nose.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when they have to blow their nose? You know?
Yeah, I've heard everyone, you know, we have horizontal thinking versus vertical thinking. And then we're intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated.
Yeah. But,
and most people in our society, when you're talking just to the average person, they're really focused on extrinsic motivation because they've been schooled and it's what they're programmed from, you know, early mm-hmm. on. The whole behavioral model of raising children.
And you're describing two modalities that are really the antithesis of the other or polarized in some sense.
Right.
And
if you're going to bring up a spiritual child, you want that child to be intrinsically motivated. You want to teach your child the truthful information so they can be discerning on their own. You know, you don't teach your child, don't ever talk to strangers. No, you give them a spiritual compass so that they will have a gut feeling whether that stranger is safe to be with or not. You know, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, you see some of these parents that, you know, put their children in boxes so that everything is, you know, they don't have that inner compass. And that's what we need to, you know, get back to for ourselves. And, you know, that's our salvation for the planet is to have that regular connection with our Creator and, you know, use the spirit in ourselves to connect
mm-hmm.
and keep that moral compass, you know, going strong.
Well, that
and
statement.
Use your intuition. Use your gut instincts and follow. Yeah. Follow your heart.
Yeah. See, the statement "Don't talk to strangers" was handed to us from law enforcement. I can remember law enforcement telling people, you know, they would set up these situations where a kid is kidnapped. Okay, mm-hmm. And that sounds like a double use of the word. A child is kidnapped. And now they bring the expert on television to inform everyone how to handle those situations, how to prevent that from happening. So they blame it on talking to strangers. It becomes the child's fault that he communicated with someone. Mm-hmm. There's no talk about getting rid of,
the predator.
The perfer, or the predator.
The perp.
Yeah. Yeah. You get my meaning. There, you know, it's the conditioning to allow the authorities to handle it, you see, because then eventually the authorities will be handling everything.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing, the experts.
Yeah.
And, you know, the victims have to take responsibility for being victims.
Yes.
Anyway. Well, I'm going to sign off.
Well, your counsel was very wise, and I would describe what you're saying as a way of expanding, I think, and not necessarily in physicality so much as in spirituality and consciousness, to think in terms of getting from one place to another in the easiest way and at the same time the most rewarding way, something that you can look forward to and something that benefits others.
Right.
I think when we think in those terms that a lot of times people don't see the benefit right away. Some do. Some are hungry for
right.
it. They're clamoring for it.
Yeah, and so, that's the whole difference. That's why you need to talk to people listening. And we are all connected. We need to release judgment and increase compassion.
Yeah.
Because we are all connected, even if that person is in a fog right now and in a victim and taking a lot of drugs. There's a way of reaching that person being compassionate and understanding with the predicament that they're in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always, that's one of the things I guard against because I grew up with a very judgmental mother and I tend to be that way myself. So it's one of my spiritual lessons is to, you know, with Dawn being gone, is to feel my heart energy and expand that in, you know, loving people and releasing judgment, no matter who it is.
Well, as you said Don's name, I was thinking about Don, and I was going to ask you, number one, if you would come back and visit with us again soon.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be in December, though. We're all booked up. But also, if you get any kind of a message that he would like to share with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those that understand exactly what I mean, if you would do so.
Yeah, well... Yeah, right now it's personal messages and helping me right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't asked, you know, those kind of things. Sorry about that. I don't mean to be so selfish, but I have a lot to deal with, and so I'm needing, you know, right now. So we'll talk about that.
Well, I'm not lobbying for that to happen, but I'm just saying if it should happen.
Okay. I could certainly, you know, I think, yeah.
He may say, tell Nikoloff to shut up, you know, something like that. Okay. I'll turn the show over to you. Okay?
It's okay. Okay.
All right, Ingrid Castle, thank you so much for being on the show. Folks, I want to encourage you, please, to consider subscribing to the Idaho Observer. You can do that by calling area code 208-255-2307. Pacific Coast time, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is a reasonable time. And it's a monthly paper. You can get lots of them. Sign up and give away some to your friends. Ingrid would be happy to take your order. And would dedicate this show to my good friend and Ingrid's late husband, Mr. Don Harkins. I'd like to thank you for listening to Evident Footprints, those on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com, as well as Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.